C'è un'altra esperienza molto interessante a cui far riferimento, che è quella che ci racconterà Jim Richardson, che è amministratore delegato di Sumo, una società di consulenza specializzata nel design, nel campo delle arti e cultura, e ci racconterà di un'esperienza molto interessante di un progetto chiamato I Like Museums. So, please.
It's really nice to be here today in beautiful Turin. This is the view from my window taking off from Edinburgh yesterday. And Edinburgh is behind there. So your weather isn't sunny perhaps, but it's not this. And Edinburgh, of all places, you'd think they'd be able to deal with rain, but our plane was delayed for 2.5 hours because of rain. So today I'm going to talk about two projects. I'm from the UK. I run a consultancy there called Sumo, and we work with museums and galleries to help them to grow their audiences. We work with a whole mix of museums and galleries there, from some of our largest, like our National Gallery and Natural History Museum, through to smaller arts venues and heritage sites. The most important things that we've learned about about museums over the past decade have all been about audiences. In the UK, there's often a tendency to categorise people by their age and income and not to look at what's really important, which is what drives them to visit or not to visit. One of the big changes that we've seen over the past decade has been the shift in expectations caused by Web 2. The internet is no longer seen as a place just to find information. It's now a forum for collaboration, a place to create, a place to curate, and a place to share information online. This has changed the way we worked, influenced the way that we think, and adjusted our individual place in society forever. The most important place on the internet now are mostly Web 2 sites, and as mobile technology gives us always-on access to information, the internet is changing the way that we live. This technological shift has placed power into the hands of the masses as never before. I can access countless books at a touch of a button, find thousands of pictures of Turin with a quick search, create web pages, publish books, and organise events, and connect with niche groups of the same interest as me. Information is power, and this power is shifting. The explosion in Web 2 has created a socio-cultural shift. The way people act is changing, and audience expectations are snowballing both online and offline, but as well as engaging with these audiences through Web 2 because they're demanding it, I think that museums can get a lot out of this. I think that it fits perfectly with what a museum should really be all about. So today I'm going to talk about two projects. I Like Museums, which is something which we developed in 2007. To put how old 2007 is in web terms into context, when I was thinking about talking about this project, I looked through our files and I couldn't understand why there was no mention of Facebook. And then I realised that this launched 1 month before Facebook. We've got slightly less visitors. So I'm going to tell you a bit about I Like Museums, and then I'm going to compare this with a project that we're currently working on to highlight that while technology and websites might change, there are some fundamentals which are consistent between both. So I Like Museums was a project that we learned a lot from. This was a kind of campaign to promote museums and galleries in northeast England, and it had to bring together a really diverse group of over 80 venues. We had art galleries, science museums, history museums, museums on heritage sites like Hadrian's Wall or on industrial sites like old coal mines. We have museums for children. We even had a bagpipe museum. We were brought in to help these museums to develop a promotional strategy, something that would raise the profile of the museums in the region, something that could change perceptions of museums, and something that would encourage people to step out their comfort zone and maybe visit a museum that they haven't tried before. I know that personally I'm someone who does this. Every time I go to London, I end up in the same museums, while there's hundreds that I've probably never visited. So for this project, we were working with 12 people who represented about 25 of the 80 institutions who were taking part in the campaign. And our starting point was to brainstorm how we could tie together these very different museums. And we quickly came to the conclusion that the differences were what would be the strength of the campaign. Whatever you like, museums have it. Rather than this being some kind of boring directory of museums, we decided to link the museums through a series of trails. we felt that this would be more appealing to the public than having to scan a list of attractions that they might not be familiar with. Instead, they could browse things that interested them. There are trails like I Like Keeping the Kids Happy, which frame museums in a context which is helpful to a particular audience. This means that the visitor doesn't need to consume lots of content that isn't relevant to them, but instead can pick what interests them and ignore the rest. I think that what is really important here is that we try and see the museum from an audience's point of view and acknowledge that we have broad audiences who will approach an institution from different points of view. I think that too often museums and galleries talk at their audiences and don't really think about what's in it for the visitor. So these are two posters which are kind of typical museum posters. I think that there's a big barrier for entry here. If I'm walking through the underground with a kid and my son asks me, who's Darwin? Tell me about him. And I don't know about it. I'm going to feel stupid, so I'm not going to want to go to the museum where I'm going to get more questions like that, which I don't know the answer to. So we were framing things in a simpler context. The development group decided that the audiences who we were trying to reach with I Like Museums fell into three main camps. They were families, which was the broad description that we gave to those who were motivated to visit a museum because of children. They tend to visit the same museum over and over again. Lazy socials, which is the name that we gave people age 18 to 30, who would like to participate in culture more but who don't have time or who are too lazy to do it. And museums aren't really the type of culture that they tend to consume. And finally, interested adults. These tend to be people whose children have left home, giving them more time to pursue their interests. And again, they tend to stay within their comfort zone and visit the same museum time and time again. This, of course, isn't the entire spectrum of museum attendees, and our current set of what we call audience drivers has six segments and doesn't rely on ages of the individuals, but these are the groups that we looked at for I Like Museums. Once we had these three audience segments in mind, we ran workshops to find out more about what each group liked and didn't like about museums. We found, for example, that one of the reasons that the family-centric group were drawn to museums was because they were low-cost day out, so we added a theme, I like free stuff. We found that outdoor spaces were really appealing, so we had I like getting mucky. And the workshops highlighted things in the collections that would appeal to each group, so in this case, I like dinosaurs. We shortlisted a large number of trails, but also looked for star trails, those which we could use in the advertising campaign. In the advertising campaign, we used pictures of individuals rather than the museums. This again put the focus on audiences, and our focus groups told us that they felt that the message came from the person in the poster, and this is quite a step away from your normal museum marketing. These are the headlines that we use for each group in the advertising. So, I like a place to think, I like the unusual, I like having fun, I like doing things as a family, I like art, and I like exploring. So they were really accessible to people. The advertising campaign was extensive. We had around £80,000 to spend on advertising, and we used our three target groups to help us decide where to place the media. So, for example, for the Lazy Socials group, we decided to put beer mats in pubs across the region. We put posters in sports centres and in cinemas, and all of this advertising pushed people to ilikemuseums.com. I've got a soundtrack now. Here are some of the trails on the front of the website. And so this website is ilikemuseums.com, and it's still online now. You can see that we have some of the trails on the front of the website here. And you can choose to click through and see more trails, or you can click to get surprised and have a trail sent to you. Here are some of the trails, and you can see that we've really tried to steer clear from museum speak. There's no Neolithic or ethnographic. Instead, we have big stuff, or even a trail which has all the museums that have cafes called the I Like Having a Nice Cuppa Trail. That might seem really flippant, but right now my wife and I, it's getting to the dramatic bit, that's why. My wife and I have a baby who's 3 months old, and so any museum we go to, we need to know that there's a cafe that we can feed the baby in. So this trail can be really helpful to the people who need that. You might have noticed that every trail had a star next to it, and this was so users could score the trails that they find useful so that they can show their approval or disapproval for every trail. The other really important way that visitors could get involved was by submitting their own visitor trails. And to provide an incentive, we did offer a prize for the best trail. One of my favorite trails was I Like Things to Do with a Hangover, which offers art to take the mind off the pain, religious memorials for divine intervention, and seaside castles for a blast of fresh air. And I cannot imagine a museum wanting to frame itself in that context, but a visitor can do that and put it on the website, and it's quite acceptable. Each trail has a page which lists which museums are on this and why each venue deserves to be on that trail. And while our researcher did a great job, I think some of the best trails on the website are the ones that have been produced by the public. Those submitting trails to the website really made an effort. And if someone's taken the time to create a trail, then I would hope that this was a sign that they've got a genuine affinity with the museums. And by giving them a chance to tell what they thought and sharing it with others, the institutions seem even more relevant to them and their friends. Each museum also has a profile page which tells you about them, about their facilities, which trails that they're part of, and also which museums are nearby to, again, try and push people to more than one museum. The thing that I really love about I Like Museums is that it puts the focus on the individual as much as it does on the museums. It's about what they like, and the museums were willing to be seen through that lens. We also found that the visitors to the website liked the themes. Given the choice of browsing museums through an A to Z directory or through themes, 9 out of 10 users picked themes. Over the 8 weeks of the campaign, the website attracted 48,000 unique visitors and over 160,000 trail views during the same period. 9 of the participating museums also ran research on site, and they found that 36% of visitors to the physical museums cited the campaign as influencing their decision to visit. One of the nice things about a website where the content is being produced by the public is that the website has continued to grow without any ongoing production costs. This is different to a traditional advertising campaign where it finishes when the money runs out. Since 2007, the website has attracted hundreds of thousands of visitors, and we've also had an event section to it. As I said earlier, 3 years on the internet is a very long time, so I want to take a short amount of time to talk about a similar project that we are currently working on, and this is called Yorkshire's Favourite Paintings. As with I Like Museums, this project brings together a large number of museums across an English county, in this case a group of 50 galleries, who came to us with a brief to promote the breadth and quality of painting across the county of Yorkshire. We felt that this was the perfect project to get the public involved with. At first we thought about doing something similar to I Like Museums, so people would create trails of paintings, but speaking to the public we found that this was too complicated, so we simplified this down to just asking people to tell us which was their favourite painting and what they liked about it. But we did feel that we needed some kind of incentive to get people involved with the project. And the answer came from speaking to the public again. As the strapline explains, tell us about your favourite painting and you can take it home with you. You'll notice that, as with I Like Museums, we've involved the public in the development of the campaign. As someone who believes in co-producing museum experiences, I think that it's really important that we have the public's input, our input as consultants, and the museum inputting into the process. A large media campaign will be used to promote Yorkshire's favourite paintings, where the public will be asked to contribute their opinion about which painting held in museums and galleries across the county is their favourite. The individual is asked to select a painting and tell us why it's their favourite and where they would like to hang it. This could be a husband who writes to tell us that his wife adores a painting and that he would love to hang it on their dining room wall when he cooks her an anniversary dinner. Or it could be a schoolgirl who wants a Picasso in her classroom for art class. We don't know what we'll get, but in my experience, the public always surprises. This may seem incredibly brave to let paintings from the collection out into the public. But these are all public collections, and it's not down to a public vote. We select where the painting goes, and it's probably far more likely to end up in a school or a hospital than someone's private home, but the incentive is there. While the concept of inviting comment is similar to that of I Like Museums, the way that it's integrated into social media is different. The website will be integrated into Facebook, Twitter, and Foursquare, none of which existed when we built I Like Museums. When someone comes to the website and wants to leave a comment, they can either sign up with their email address or they can log in with their Facebook or Twitter ID. And if they choose to use either Facebook or Twitter, they'll be given the choice at the end of the process to automatically share that with their friends. This is something that we've done on other projects, and we found that it's incredibly good at generating a large amount of traffic. If I write something on there and then post it to Twitter, then some of my followers will go and check it out, some of them will write, and so on and so forth. As well as these kind of nice tools to let other people share it, we will have identities on these websites, and also the 50 museums and galleries also have their own profiles, their own followers, so they'll all be pushing it. While on I Like Museums, we use Google Maps to show where each museum was. With Yorkshire's favourite painting, each artwork has a Foursquare location, and we are hoping to be able to award a badge to anyone who visits all 100 artworks. But while integration with social media websites is the difference between I Like Museums and Yorkshire's favourite paintings, the fundamental idea between both remains the same. Let the public approach the museum from a different perspective, one where they contribute as partners. I think looking to the future, this pattern will continue. Websites like Facebook and Twitter may come and go, but we will continue to look to the public as a partner, valuing their contribution and benefiting from sharing this with others. I think that people increasingly expect this, and that it has great benefits to turn a passive museum visitor into active advocates for your institution. With funding of museums and galleries across Europe being cut, I think that relationship building, conversations and connections are going to become increasingly important. We need now more than ever to build communities around our museums, and Web2 has a crucial role to play in building this support and strengthening these relationships. Thank you.